Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Eleanor, who's here to speak with us about the joy of participating in those old-fashioned retreats. Welcome, Eleanor.
Oh, hello, Lakota. I'm happy to be here to talk about this.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for being with us today. Those old-fashioned retreats sure are a good time, aren't they?
Oh, they're still my favorite when we do think projects together. But back in the day when I first started retreats, that was it. You know, we didn't have all the great support we have every day now. But so I have really enjoyed thinking about all those great insights that were available in that kind of retreat for me.
Yeah,
so
I
don't know where to start, but. One of the overall big things that I know that I'm looking back on it is the joy of working together with other people is something I'd never really experienced before until I did this in the retreat setting. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. This huge project can happen, and it kind of builds the faith that every little bit matters. You know, I do my little part, and we're all part of this big whole, and these amazing things happen together.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Eleanor, as you're talking, it's just great. There's just so much in it, isn't there? Just the joy of participating as a part of the team, that fun and connection and belonging that's a part of that experience of showing up and rolling up your sleeves and participating together. And then also just how fun it is to see, like, oh, my gosh, you know, it blows out of the water all these conditioned stories about any kind of project. And then you get to find out, like, oh, my gosh, there's this maybe a big, huge project. And with all these lit-up Sangha members together working side by side can just be easeful and joyful and wow.
Yeah, it's something about doing something that helps move the energy sometimes in retreats, and it becomes the workshop from so often because the bamboozles are very obvious in that setting to me. So you're in a setting and you're working with other people, kind of like, you know, one might do out in the other world, except we're practicing and we're not interacting and talking. So the whole thing is so much clearer, you know. Conditioning can't really slip in the things that, you know, it's so much easier to see.
Oh, it's such a great point that when we're out there in our daily lives kind of doing whatever we're doing, it can be easy for conditioning to kind of get in there and slip in, you know, whatever kind of process it's slipping in. But when we're at the monastery working with Sangha in the privileged environment, it's kind of highlighted. We really get to see so clearly everything that conditioning does. So the whole thing winds up being not only we're participating in this fantastic project, but it's the whole thing is this beautiful workshop and highlights all this stuff we might not have had the opportunity to see in any other circumstance.
Yeah, those were my first introduction to the big bamboozles. Oh, she's walking by, there's the leader, and she's not telling me that I'm doing a good job. Oh, my goodness, you know, and so I'm looking for approval, and then, oh, no, I'm not doing it right, or I'm comparisons to other people. You know, it's all there, but it doesn't have to all be there, and it's just such a beautiful thing to have a focus to come back to. So it's like, oh, I see that, but ooh, I'm doing this right now, and this is what I really want to be doing, and I'm choosing not to be in that story.
Wow, yeah, as you were describing that experience, I was just kind of going right to that place of just the joy of the simplicity of having this really simple, practical, hands-on focus that's kind of an anchor for the attention, if you will, and then while you're doing that, you can just watch from this great disidentified place as the voices do whatever they do and kind of there's these pulls, but there's just this wonderful focus to be able to come back to, and the whole thing's a great workshop.
Yeah, I like that, anchor for the attention. That's just exactly what it is. Let's see. And then another thing I realize that's really been big for me is that is that it comes home with me. So I don't know if it's body memory or what, but there's so chopped onions at the monastery, say. I come home and I walk in to chop onions and I'll never chop onions the same again. It's,
yes.
You know, I go right to awareness practice. And, you know, there's this great kindness and gratitude comes up like, oh, great, you know, I'm chopping onions. It brings it back without, it's a reminder of practice and presence.
Gosh, yes. Yeah, Eleanor, it's so great as you're describing that. I just see the kind of the brilliance of this kind of retreat setting where, you know, we're practicing with a lot of the same stuff that we practice with in all of our daily lives. So these simple tasks, maybe working in the kitchen or whatever, chopping an onion like you described. And then when you go back out into the world, it kind of becomes with you. Like you said, you'll never chop an onion the same way. It's this kind of cue to come back to that awareness that you experienced there at the monastery. And knowing that kind of awareness and presence and joy that we get to experience doing these simple tasks at the monastery is available to us out in our daily lives. What a gift.
It's really a gift, and each little piece brings in more and more. It may be cleaning or sweeping or, you know, I'll just have to say my latest really fun thing to do is to go into my kitchen, wash my hands, put on an apron and a cap, and I am just lit up. I just stand there like, here I am, life, I'm ready. You know, I don't know. That's been just so. It's big for me. I don't know what other words to use other than I like bringing practice back into my life in that way.
Yeah, so fun to bring practice back into your life in that way. Yes.
Yeah. So and then there's always wonderful to support the monastery and the environment there, that so we can go there and have that place to practice in that way.
It sure is, yeah. Yeah, and as you were talking too, what was another thing that was kind of coming in was this, you know, just this recognizing that if part of what we're doing is to practice, or all of what we're doing is to practice bringing the mind of meditation to every part of our lives, what a gift to have the opportunity to practice in these ways that are so similar to the ways that we are out in our lives, walking around and working together with other people on different projects and tasks like that, to be able to practice that mind of meditation every step of the way. It's maybe, you know, in some ways like a higher level practice and just so practical and helpful out there. And then the other point that you make that's just beautiful is the joy that we get to experience in kind of giving back to this place that gives us so much and stewarding and taking care of our home, our spiritual home.
Yeah, that's all goes right to my heart. It's I can go back to so many experiences of it just takes retreat to another level for me. Workshops and of course then we have the meditation. So we work a little while and then we come back and sit in stillness for a little while and then work some more. So it's not like, you know, we're doing tasks the entire time. It feels right. It feels like the flow of a day to have that part of it to work in with the other activities that happen in a retreat as well.
Oh, I love the way you describe that. It just feels right. It feels like there's kind of the word that was coming in for me as you were describing it was just this effortless flow through the day of kind of alternating between tasks and projects and meditation and then workshops or whatever is a part of the day. There's just this kind of effortless flow that we get to experience.
It is. It is. And to know that is I love knowing that because, you know, life doesn't always flow like that, and that I'm practicing and that with that as well. But just to know the feeling of a day of that kind of balance is has been meaningful to me.
Yeah. As you're describing that, I was kind of going to that place of, you know, we get to, in a sense, with this practice, to calibrate to that experience of effortless flow. Even if there's a day full of projects and tasks and these kinds of things, we get to experience that. So we know that experience, and we know that it's possible because we've had it on these kinds of retreats. And then we can go back to our lives in the world and kind of calibrate toward that experience to resonate with that flow experience that we know is possible.
That's it. Calibrate. That's it. Thank you for thinking of the right word.
I see we're getting close to the end of our time here. Was there anything else you'd like to add about these retreats before we end?
Just that I love it, and it's been the most supportive, not the most supportive, but one of the wonderful supports from our practice is practicing in that way.
A wonderful support. Yeah, it's hard to pick a favorite, right? Because there's so much.
I can't go there, but anyway. Thank you for the opportunity here at Lakota.
Yes, thank you so much for being with us today, Eleanor, and sharing your experience. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Good night. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Eleanor. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Kind of makes you want to be there, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it brings up a lot of memories for me. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And it is, I've mentioned this before, it is so teeth-grittingly beautiful there right now that it is hard to imagine. I know we're technically still in winter, aren't we? Have we moved into spring yet? No, not until the 21st or something, right? The way the rains have come and then the sun and then the rains and then the sun, the blossoms have stayed on all of the trees for just longer than I think I can ever remember them staying. Daffodils and paper whites and, everything is gold and white and pink blossoms and white blossoms in the trees. It's just spectacular. So it's really fun to hear Lakota and Eleanor talk about that and know we're getting ready to have these retreats, right? And people who avail themselves are going to have a spectacular nature show aside from whatever happens with them internally. The externals are going to be stunning. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure the externals will reflect the internals.
Right, that's true. That's a good point, Michael. Because if I'm walking around in the snit and all I'm seeing is the road under my feet, then yeah, it's not going to be spectacular. But if we just look up and look around, ooh, it's very, very good.
Yes, and you've reminded us many times the benefits of nature and being on retreat in beautiful environments, and that's my experience. Very conducive.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the best. There's no faster way to realize and remember what we are. That's
yes.
that's the fast track. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shall I jump to announcements here?
Oh yeah. I think you're going to talk about some retreats coming up.
Yes. Speaking of which. The upcoming practice weekend, March 31st through April 2nd, is an opportunity to participate in the monastic schedule, and it includes guidance and a special practice activity. From Friday evening group with the guide to Sunday morning group with the community, participants enjoy strong awareness practice support in the peace and beauty of the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. And a new quarter begins April 15th. And
April 15th, that's a big day. Michael, you could have some kind of maybe potentially not so uplifting news and then some really uplifting. Yeah. Oh,
yes,
April 15th.
Exactly.
That's very good.
All on the same day. Great.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days of our awareness practice, Sangha gathered for a deeply fulfilling time of caring for our spiritual home. The Seasons of Joy Spring Retreat, March 21 through 26, offers that same joyous experience of working shoulder to shoulder with the guide in stewardship of the monastery and engagement with the sacred in everyday tasks. Guidance, workshops, yoga, and delicious food are all part of this retreat.
So, Michael, I think I mentioned when the cookbook came out that there's the most marvelous story in the back of the cookbook about the old days when we were first there and we were in mash tents, and it was truly for the hearty souls. And and now it's so funny because, I mean, people coming from the regular, regular lifestyle think it's rustic. But, of course, to us, it's actually five-star compared to a mash tent that you're meditating in and that the cooks are cooking in and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's great. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Redefining rustic, seems like.
Yes.
Yes. The Your Practice Retreat, April 8 through 15, is a chance to step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The retreat features individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week. The retreat is a prerequisite for first-time visiting monks.
Mm-hmm.
And for a not-to-miss opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate, sign up now for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, April 26th through May 3rd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Mm.
And for those of you...
It's about the most extraordinary, life-changing thing anybody could ever give themselves the gift of.
Yes. Yes. Exactly so. And for those of you following the work in Africa, new blogs have been posted to the website. And if you're a junkie like me, you log on several times a day to see if there's a new post. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. Okay, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make a show and a focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Really helps everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, you ready?
Yeah, I am. Michael, I want to say one thing, though, before you bring that caller on, and that is that we recently sent out a little survey because one of the things that is happening, even though we try to make it so very, very clear that coming to the monastery is just an extraordinary thing to do for yourself, not as many people do as we would wish. And so we just sent out a little survey basically asking people is the monastery something you want? Because if people aren't coming there, it requires a great deal of money, time, energy, effort, everything to keep that place running. And so if you receive that survey, we do hope that you'll take a few minutes, truly a few minutes, very simple survey, and answer the questions really honestly for us so that we can have a sense of what's important to Sangha. You know, the only way we know what's important to Sangha is if Sangha tells us. And if Sangha is communicating with us, kind of make a hint about, you know, the monastery is not that important to us, then it'd be really important for us to know that as a clear message so that we can, you know, just go with practice in ways that are most helpful to Sangha, because that's what practice is all about.
Hmm. Well, it just strikes me as very kind to reach out and begin that dialogue and communication. And to me, it just reflects practice in the sense that we're trying to get clear on what's going on and where we are and what's important. And
Yeah, no judgment, no hard feelings, no anything. It's just, if a monastery is not really what serves people, then there's no sense in having it. And if it does, then we want to, you know, all look at how we can keep it going and vibrant and thriving and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we just hope people will give us some honest feedback.
Great.
All right, now
great.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
okay.
you, Michael.
You're welcome. Okay, let's get to our first call here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on?
Well, gosh, you know, I just I feel moved to talk about the monastery. Oh, I was just, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was just going back as the conversation between Lakota and Eleanor, first of all, was going on, and then the conversation between the two of you. And, just going back to some wonderful times spent there. And how I during the first period of extended time I spent at the monastery, how I felt that there's no place I've ever been where I've seen so much transformation happening. You know, it just felt like, oh my gosh, I would be there and people would come and go and it would just feel like they would have just such breakthroughs and such amazing experiences. And, you know, kind of as I look at projection now, you know, to realize that that was happening to me during that time. And, going back to being there this past summer for a retreat. And, it was beautiful then. And of course, it's dry during the summer and it's hot and all of that. But it's so beautiful. And just to walk around and I was sick a lot of times, so I was in my hermitage. But that was beautiful, you know, and just being mm-hmm. there, and just the night sounds at the monastery. Oh gosh, it starts to get dusk and everything, and all the the night creatures come out. It's just to be there right in the midst of that natural environment. Kind of as you were talking about, it's just a fast trip to being with who we really are.
The heart is open. The stars come out. The heart opens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And you know, Jeff, sometimes I wonder, and I hope that people, if there is an element of this that people will honestly speak to it, sometimes I think that the power of those transformative experiences is why people don't come.
Oh.
You know,
wow.
That there's, we know the level of resistance that ego puts up to practice. Mm. I mean, you know, we hear people, I mean, they're just, do everything they've got, they're throwing at trying to record and listen, and they just, they're not allowed to. You know, the roadblocks are just, they begin to feel insurmountable. And that's recording and listening, which is, it is the most transformative tool I've ever encountered, but it's not, you know, you're talking into a recorder and listening to what you're saying. Then compare that to going to a monastery where there is absolutely no room at all for ego. So for whatever time you're there, ego is just is an outsider in a life that it's used to being in control of. And so, again, I suspect that the level of resistance that people run into, whether it's the conversation, you know, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, you know, there are so many other things I want to do, I'll do it late, you know, whatever it is. But I do wonder about that resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it occurs to me that I, from ego's perspective, I would guess, I only have to believe one of those at any time. You know, as long as I'm believing one, right?
Yeah. Now it's the time, now it's the money, now it's the too many other things going on. Now it's the family reunion is this year. You know, I'm sure going to do it in 2018, for sure. I'm going to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, yeah. No shame in that. You know, it is what we're up against. It is. It's what we're all up against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at my own, conversations because I've, been looking at this year and thinking, okay, you know, New Year's, I really want to make a New Year's retreat. But just aware of, wanting to really be open to, well, wait a minute, have I really had a conscious conversation? You know, have I talked to the mentor about it? No, I haven't. Uh-huh. This stuff has been going around in my head. I have not had a conscious conversation with life about, or my coach, that would be coach/life. I have not had a conscious conversation looking at this. That's just really good to see and commit to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is really important, Jeff, because without these kinds of explorations, that sort of thing just slides by under the radar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously that happened to you, you know, where, huh, son of a gun, why have I not explored that? Well,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that system that really doesn't want us to bring conscious awareness to these things, it has a very well-developed ability to keep us from looking where it doesn't want us to look. I don't know how many negatives I had in there, but you know what I mean. If it doesn't want us to look there, it knows how to keep that hidden.
Yes, and because I thought, and I hadn't considered it, but I thought I had been thinking about it. You know, I thought I had been considering it, but I haven't been considering it. Conditioned mind has been talking to me about it, and I've been asleep. But the assumption is that I've been considering it.
Uh-huh.
But it has not been a conscious conversation. It's been
it's
there
so
in
big,
conditioned
isn't it?
Mind.
Yeah, that
yeah.
is so big. Because then we go, well, where else is this happening in my life where I think I'm an active participant and actually I'm not?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're here to see. Right, is,
yeah.
I mean, among other things, these conversations that aren't me, that I've always thought were me, and how I get bamboozled and come back without self-hate, right? To go, wow, that's so exciting. You know, a new world is opening up, a new possibility, because now I'm present. Now, you know, I'm present to the world of possibility and who knows and life and the possibility of being guided, you know, as opposed to being guided by, you know, some karma conditioning, self-hate.
Yeah, by a bamboozle. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, I'm right there with you. I love that. So, wow, I thought I was actually considering this, but I was actually kind of unconsciously or in a sleep state listening to conditioned mind talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, there is a process that I want to catch on to anywhere that's showing up in my life. So what are the components? Now I begin to break it down, right? What are the components? I'm going to watch for that. I'm going to pay. So let's see. I think I'm thinking about it, but I'm actually not. So what are the areas in my life that I hear going around in my head? I'm sort of aware of them, but I never bring them up with the coach. I never bring them up with the mentor. I don't actually record and listen about them. Now we're on to something.
Boy, that's huge. Because I really appreciate you really focusing on that, because so what you're saying is, yes, this the content of you know, getting to go to the monastery, getting to participate in practice, that's huge enough. But even bigger than that is the process how I'm being controlled and manipulated unconsciously, you know, across the board. So to really look at, okay, what are the components of the process? How is that process happening so that I can be watching for it and have places where I start to go, yes, that's it. This is it. I'm in that process.
Yeah. So anybody could actually set alarms to go off periodically through the day. And then what is the conversation that has been going on in my head? Is it familiar? If it's familiar, then have I talked about it in practice? Have I brought it up with the mentor? Have I recorded about it? Have I brought it up with the coach? No? Okay. All right. We want to bring this one into the light of day. Right?
Wow. Yeah.
And I bet for all of us, we could have a really long list of those very familiar conversations that just kind of drone on in the background, like Muzak or white noise or that sort of thing. They're just always there, but we're never supposed to bring conscious awareness to them. Now we're going to.
Yeah, it's like when that alarm goes off, turning on the Zen flashlight. You know, and just kind of going, what's going on here? You know, and just taking a look around. Where have I come to consciousness when that alarm goes off? Shine the flashlight.
Yes.
And take a look.
And not get involved with whatever that conversation is. You know, not engage with the conversation, or engage with, oh, God, I'm obsessing about that again. Or I can't believe I'm, you know, come on. That, right? So in any of those are just other features of conditioned mind that it uses to keep us in that unconscious, unexamined place. So instead it's, okay, what's the nature of that conversation? Well, I'm thinking about money. Or, I'm going on about relationship again. Or, you know, that's that same old conversation about my coworker. Or that's the, okay, so, okay, we're going to stop having that as just background filler. We're going to bring it up into conscious awareness. And what is that process? What's going on there? What's behind that?
Mm-hmm. Boy, that sounds great.
Very revealing. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that, Sherry. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Let us know.
Yes, absolutely. Will do. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Good night, Jeff. Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Sherry, that was such a helpful conversation. I have the sense of stuff that's happening just below the surface of conscious awareness, and I'm not supposed to see it. And sort of when I turn to look at it, you know, it disappears. It's like the light being shown around, and then the mouse scurries away from the light.
Yeah.
Just so helpful.
Yeah. Like a dream, right? And I would suggest, and if people take this up, they'll let us know. But that what's going on is whatever the content is, it is, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is what your life is. This is what's true for you. This is who you are. This is what's true for you. Okay? That's the message behind every one of those. So if the conversation is, say, constantly about I don't have enough money or I don't have enough time, there's that conversation that keeps me focused on that belief system, but in an unconscious way. But the real, I don't know if you'd say meta message or the underground message, whichever direction, is this is what is so for you. This is what is true for you. This is who you are. This is how your life is. This is. So it never says, and you're stuck here, and it's always going to be this way, okay? Because that could be alarming. That could catch a person's attention. It's just a constant reinforcement of the belief system without ever admitting that that's what it's doing. That's what makes it a brainwashing system. It's just the constant repetition of the lies.
Yes, exactly so. That's completely my experience. And it would you say that there is the implication that it is always going to be this way, and by the way, it's your fault?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
All of that.
Yeah. It's your fault. It is this way. It's always, this is just what's true. And it's kind of a, you know, you don't have to commit suicide, but you do have to, you do have to be kind of low energy, and you know, you're in the traces. Don't expect very much. This is all there is. And it is your fault. If you were a different person, a better person, then your life would work. But you're not, and it doesn't matter. And that's just how it is. And again, what Jeff was making so clear for us is the fiendish aspect of that. But it does kind of talk us to sleep. So it never says anything upsetting enough unless, we start paying attention. But it's meant never to alarm us or catch our attention. It's just there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. My experience, exactly.
Mm-hmm. We're taking it on now.
Yes, we are taking it on now. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. It's Karen in North Carolina.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, can you hear me?
We're hearing from North Carolina tonight.
Well, this is so interesting. I'm not often able to dial in on Tuesdays, and, you know, it's been my practice with the morning show and just to, you know, put myself in the queue. And I don't really have
–
yes. And really, I was looking at that this morning at the noon – for us, the noon show – which means for me personally is to sit down and do nothing else but listen to that show. I'm in the queue, and so to let life unfold for me, to participate in what might come forth if I'm, you know, called on, then I
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. Right? That's a perfect expression to me of the opportunity that we have in a human incarnation. We are here. We are ready to participate. We are showing up with all of our attention and awareness, every bit of it that we can manage or muster, and we are available. We're ready. If something is required of us, if we're called forth in a particular way, we're ready.
Mm-hmm. And then this morning, not so much tonight, but this morning I could feel conditioning at some point during the program, you know, try to grab my attention, moving in and out. And so just to sit there and watch that at the same time, you know, to let awareness expand to all that I'm able to see.
It's like, it's just like sitting practice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there you are, Ken. In this case, it really is, because you are sitting, maybe not cross-legged on the floor, but you are sitting, and your intention is to attend to what's going on in the show, the conversation that's happening there, and then you watch conditioned mind come in and try to distract you, try to grab
mm-hmm.
your attention and get you to go off with it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, awareness is expanded, so you're aware that that's going on, and you just keep bringing your attention back to the conversation that you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to participate if somebody says you're unmuted.
With a big smile on my face right this minute. And, you know,
yeah.
So the monastery is one of my most favorite places to be, and I really hope we get a good response from that questionnaire. And one of the things for me, I was there the last time for a month, and it's just the kindest place, and such kind schedule, and teaches me so much about taking care of myself in a way that doesn't happen at home as much. And more so with practice, I've learned how to bring practice that I've learned at the monastery.
It's what
home.
Eleanor was talking about, the mm-hmm. onions, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we practice kindness in that environment, right? You've got this schedule that enables you to do all these things during the day, including meditation and cooking and eating and cleaning up and a whole life, right? You do different kinds of things at the monastery than you do when you're at home, but the schedule is not that different. Right? Yeah, you sleep, you eat, you clean, you work, but when it's done in that context of kindness, it changes our ideas about how we can be as human beings in the world.
Yes, yes, and how we can then practice being that, however we do. To me, which is the, you know, one of the points of practice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's bringing freedom. You know, that's what's, I'm getting tongue-tied.
What you're saying, what I'm hearing is, what I'm projecting onto what you're saying is that we learn to be present with what it is that we're doing. So
mm-hmm.
the difference between what happens to us when we're in our regular life doing, you know, whatever it is we do in our regular life. You're at the monastery and the same things aren't there, right? You don't have, the voice might say, and now I remember the guy in retreat who said, you know, he always carried his toothbrush in his pocket because the voices in his head when he went on retreat were obsessive about, when are you going to get a chance to brush your teeth, right? And they would just go on and on and on and on about, like, it's life and death, right? And, of course, the thing that was so fun for him and revelatory, right, is that they do that to him all the time in the world, but he believes it, right? When he's in the world, that same process catches his attention and takes him into this sense of urgency and semi-hysteria, because there's this thing, and it's got to be done, and you've got to do it, and how are you going to do it, and when are you going to... But now, it's brushing your teeth. So mm-hmm. we can see that we can see the process for what it is. And then when we go back home and that process kicks in again, we recognize it. And we recognize that, okay, this is this content. At the monastery, there was that content. I could live in kindness and a lack of urgency while I was at the monastery, and everything happened. It just happened in a way that caused my body to relax and me to sleep better and to smile more. And so I'm going to practice taking that back home with me and applying all that, because I know the content doesn't make a difference. So I can still get just as much work done. I can eat well. I can relax. I can breathe deeply.
All of that. And quickly, I want to say that, in planning my retreat season for the year, of course, I'll be going to the North Carolina retreat. And then I thought, well, I'll go to the Pennsylvania retreat. And now after I hear about the questionnaire, I'm thinking, just as and Jeff was pointing out, I hadn't really looked at the choices that were, what quote unquote, choice. About maybe, well, Pennsylvania, well, maybe monastery,
Well, maybe it's not either or.
And maybe it's all three. But
well,
I know,
go
ahead.
Before you go on, okay, that's a really interesting one. Because a la what Jeff was just talking about, one of the things that I think happens to a lot of people, at least I hear it from a lot of people, is an unexamined assumption that scarcity is a reality. That there's only so much and you've got to really conserve because your portion is going to be small. And so when we start kidding about, and of course, I always kid very seriously, we start kidding about, well, why not all three? Why not? What if that was what I chose? Would I be able to do that? Of course I would. Right? Because we can do anything that we choose. And once again, our lives prove it. So the life that I have is the life that I choose. Now that's the kind of thing that gets egos back up when I say it. But it's true. If I'm living in a deprivation mentality, then I'm living in a world of deprivation. That's just how it is. Is deprivation real? In my head it is. And the old expression that I love so much, how you say it is how it is. So if I say I can't afford, I don't have the time, I'm too busy, I can't do that, then that's going to be true. Is it true? No, it's not true. But it's going to be true for me because I'm saying it and I believe it. So the person who said, what's really important to me is awareness practice. That's what's important. And so I want to do three retreats a year. I'd like to go to North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and the monastery. That's what I'd like to do. That's what's important to me. That person will find a way to do it. And the truly amazing part, and I hope there's at least one person out there who will take up this challenge, okay? The really amazing aspect of it is it'll be easy to do.
Well, that's certainly been my experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you decide, yes.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you decide what you, and it doesn't have to be coming to the monastery or going on a retreat. I mean, it's true everywhere across the board with mm-hmm. everything in everybody's life. We do what we want to do. We do what we say is possible for us. And the thing that we want to look at that's so important for us, and again, back to what Jeff was saying, who's saying it? Is this a conscious conversation that I'm having with life? With the mentor? Or is this just a background noise conversation that is reinforcing the deprivation, limitations, resistance that's actually ego?
I cannot wait to listen to this show again because there is some really good guidance here.
This is some big subjects we're covering tonight.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the conversation with Jeff about the incessant conversations, and I just kept trying to hold on to every word, and I kept, well, no, I'll hear it again, and I can listen again.
That's right, we can. It's available again. And if we really want to get it, we'll listen again, we'll write out that part of it, we'll highlight it, we'll record it, we'll listen to it, we'll bring it up to the top of what we're focusing on, you know, the 63 things that are currently most important to me, and we'll be bringing that into conscious awareness, and it will transform us.
Yes, it will all be revealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly so. Thank you.
Thank
Sharon.
You. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us, Karen. Cherry, we're just going deeper and deeper tonight, seems to me.
We are. We are hitting some depths.
Yes. Yes, it's great. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good, Michael. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, this is Brad. We spoke earlier today. How you doing?
Well, this is a happy day. How you doing at this part of the day?
Well, I got to tell you, I was so perplexed. I don't think I was perplexed, but I think my ego was perplexed with the conversation.
Don't own it, Brad. Just let it be the ego.
And the issue that I seem to have at certain times with Zen is that ego believes after a while that it knows something.
Oh, I know. And it so and wants us to believe that it knows something.
And then I start to suffer, and it starts to tell me this, well, Sherry's had this enlightening experience that you'll never understand, and that whatever's going on is not going to work. You heard her say that if you die, this will be the only chance. Anything's just, you know, panic, fear, panic. And I can say it lightheartedly now because I was listening to all those other calls, and it helped me disidentify.
Yeah.
But,
Brad, you have children. Is that true?
I do. Yes, two.
And how old is the older one?
Four.
Four. He.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So if he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's had a bad dream, he's scared, what do you say to him?
I say it's all right. You know, you're going to be fine. I'm here with you. And, you know, just take it one step at a time, brother. You know, just get back to sleep. Everything's okay. You know?
Okay. Now, without the get back to sleep, because we don't want to tell Brad that. Okay. Because
right.
we're really rooting for Brad to wake up fully. But the rest of it would be a wonderful mantra when those voices decide to attack you in that way. Because that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping to take you into a nightmare scenario that will cause you to give them all your attention, which it seems like they're being successful at.
Just at the moment, because I told you something earlier today that was incredibly, at least I thought it was profound, and then they twisted the advice that you were giving me. I think I was telling you that I kind of had this insight to, you know, not focus on how ego is telling me life should be, but focus on how life is. And you were trying to explain to me, well, don't even focus on kind of how life is. I was trying to have understanding in terms of where you were going with the conversation at that point. And then ego took over and it's like, well, obviously you don't get it.
So. That's right. And so at that point, what you say to Brad is, it's okay. That's fine. Yeah, I'm right here. Everything's fine. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay. You're fine. If we try to engage, all that's happening is we've identified with ego. Now ego is in one of those tug of wars with ego where it's going to argue this side, then this side, then this side, then this side until you feel like a piece of taffy. And so the only way to win that game is not to play it.
Yeah.
So it starts in, well, you don't get it. You don't. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. All right. You know, as we said, the ultimate Zen response. Okay. Whatever.
All right. Yeah.
Good. Okay. It's fine. We're okay. Am I breathing? My heart seems to be pounding. Okay. Haven't gone blind. All right. We're fine. It's fine. Don't even engage.
Yeah.
And
that sounds so delightful.
Yeah. As soon as you don't engage with it, it's got nothing. It's got nothing.
Yeah.
So just channel that little boy, you know, just channel that little guy. Because it's the same process, right, with what happens to him when he wakes up in a bad dream and what happens to Dad when he's in a bad dream of ego. The same reassurance works for both. Just don't engage. Just turn your attention away. Because that's what you're doing with him, right? You're getting him to turn his attention away from that and to you.
Yes.
And you're reminding him that it's okay, you're there with him, he's safe, he doesn't have anything to be afraid of. You're directing his attention to where you want it to be so that he'll have a different experience than the one the inside his head is trying to offer him. Same thing works with you.
My practice, the ego kind of interweaves itself through the legitimate advice and then gets in there. For example, with the recording and listening, it then tries to make it a contest or it tries to make it that certain things need to be met as a matter of then being okay. And now that doesn't come out, but that's kind of the inclination if I'm not aware of it. And so I have to remind myself that nothing special needs to be said in this recorder. It's a matter of being there for yourself, as you say,
showing up,
you know.
That's right. And this is back to what we started out talking about with Jeff, right? So when we say conditioning, ego will use anything. Okay, emphasis on
anything.
Right? Anything, right? And so, yes. It is. So you have an insight, it's going to be on that in a split second, starting to twist it and turn it and use it and make it into something that serves ego and not you. So we know that, right? We know that that's what's going on, which is why a mantra like, it's okay, it's fine, we're here, feet on the ground, breath in the lungs, it's fine, it's okay, is a place that we can live full time. Because there's plenty of time between those sentences for the insights that life is giving us in order to, you know, maneuver our way around through life. There's plenty of space between those sentences for life to guide us. It's yes. why, you know, I think it's St. Teresa of Avila. Her mantra was thank you. And it's all she said. She said it day and night. And there was plenty of space between those thank yous to have all the illumination that was possible for a human being to receive. Okay? So she didn't have to think about, well, now, is this the way really to be devoted to God? And am I actually, how do I know that this is, None, just thank you. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay? So your version of that could be, it's okay. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And those insights, those moments of illumination will just be dropping in, dropping in, dropping in, dropping in, dropping in. And you just keep saying, it's okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. Yeah, it's good. We're doing good.
All right. It sounds like
it's
I
way
just
easier.
Need to, yes, to don't bother to think and just be here.
That's right. Thinking is so, it is beyond overrated. It is the devil's playground. It is completely irrelevant, unnecessary, and generally a bad idea. So to the degree that we can stop doing that, we are going to feel ourselves just expanding into it's not, you know, from ego's perspective, if you do that, you're just going to probably start drooling, right? It's not the case at all. There's a brilliance, a growing brilliance that is breathtaking, truly breathtaking. And you say, how can this be possible when all I'm doing is walking around saying it's okay? How is that possible? And yet, while we don't know how it's possible, we don't have an answer to that question. We know it's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a feeling of being connected without the thought there.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah.
Alrighty. Thank you. Wonderful advice. You got it.
All right. Thank you, Brad.
All right. Have a great evening. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
You too. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. Another fascinating conversation, Sherry. We're very blessed.
Yeah, and all we have to do is show up and just keep repeating, yeah, it's okay, and be open to what life offers us.
Yes.
So easy.
Yes.
You know, that's why kids can do it. That's why children can do it, and we can't. They don't think they ought to be thinking. They know they don't know anything.
Yes.
Right? So they're just happy. It's only when we convince them that they should know something, you should know better, you should have known that, we start convincing them of those kinds of things. They believe it. Why wouldn't they? We seem to know what we're talking about. And it's just straight downhill pretty soon. You know, they're good at thinking, and they're just completely miserable. Just like us. Right? So then we have to reel it, unwind it, right? All right, now I have to learn how not to think. And again, conditioning would say, ego would say, but how can you function in the world if you don't think? That is the spiritual experience that we get to avail ourselves of. Okay? We get to prove to ourselves that thinking is not how we get through life. Thinking doesn't have anything to do with what's going on. It's how we miss the whole thing. So you have to prove it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's so counter to everything that we've been taught.
Yes, and the beautiful thing is that this practice gives us the tools to have that realization directly ourselves.
Yes. Yes, yes. And, you know, one of my favorite people who actually spoke about this was Einstein. Now, you know, people would think that he was a great thinker, but he wasn't. He knew he wasn't thinking that stuff up. he knew he was reporting what he was receiving.
Yes.
It's very different from thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say something like, I'm not that smart, I'm just really curious?
Probably. That sounds about right, doesn't it? Yeah.
Which is
another way of saying, I'm just present and open to what life is unfolding, what life is revealing.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I love it.
And we have time for another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Zoe.
Hey, Zoe.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I did not expect to get unmuted. I started listening partway through the show.
Uh-huh. Well, then I won't refer to the first calls, okay? By the way, they were spectacular, Zoe. So just in case, you know. Yeah,
right.
yeah, they were spectacular. So you're gonna want to listen back to those. Yeah.
What's going on? One thing occurred to me to say, and now it was some little idea that I had, and it's gone now.
Oh, so good.
We can just sit here a minute
and see what drops in next, because something will.
Yeah. Well, that very thing has been one of the things that I was looking at, was letting the things drop in, and practicing that.
We don't need to plan. We don't need to figure it out. We don't need to go over in this moment another moment that doesn't exist and may never exist, right?
Yeah, yes, yes. And, how sometimes it does seem challenging for the very in-depth habit of doing that and letting, and I was actually watching it 2 days ago really closely for the first time in a while, and it was fascinating to see the how, I don't know if I can put language to it. Wow, I really don't know if I could put language to it. It was like a deep seeing how much of my life, I guess,
is spent not in your life.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that shocking?
It was. It was astounding.
Yep. Yeah. And again, you are going to want to listen to what Jeff had to say, because, again, if we're not paying really close attention, we think we're living our lives.
Yeah.
And when we start paying close attention, we realize, once in a while, but an awful lot of the time, no, actually, I'm not here. I'm lost in some conversation about some other time, some other place, some other whatever it is. Usually something wrong with me or wrong with them, and what's not enough. And I think that's my life. And it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is another commercial for coming to the monastery. Right?
Yeah.
Even more than coming on retreat in other places. Because at the monastery, it's so quiet. It is so quiet, and the only thing going on is the clamoring in the head, and people become convinced, oh, gosh, it's so much worse here. No, you're just hearing what it's really like.
Yes,
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm going to be there in like 2 weeks.
I know.
I'm so excited.
And it's good you're looking at this ahead of time, right? So it's not like you're going to just slide in there and then be hit with, whoa, there's pandemonium inside my head. So you're looking at it now and recognizing it for what it is, practicing coming back to the present. And so that's a good way to get ready. That's the only getting ready we can actually do. That's the how we can prepare is to get ready. Right?
Yes.
So
when it's not quiet, when there is pandemonium on the outside.
Yeah.
And
hard to hear it on the inside, huh? Yeah.
Yes, it is. It really is. Do you have any tips for when it's pandemonium on the outside and not quiet?
Well, you know, one of the things, so do you mean mostly like being at work or in places where other people are and you're supposed to be attending?
Yeah.
Because,
like,
of course,
of the above.
You know, yeah, earbuds, when it's possible, earbuds listening to recordings about what is really so, you know, is just a dynamite way. Sometimes we can't do that. That's when we get trained toward a mantra. And we can use the recording and listening for our mantra. You know, it can be one of those, you know, I breathe in peace, I breathe out love. Or I breathe in quiet, I breathe out acceptance, or whatever it is. But we train ourselves to have the attention focused on that. And in doing that, we actually begin to have that pandemonium fade to the background. Instead of being in the foreground and it feels like you can't hear yourself think, which is probably good because you don't want to be thinking anyway. But when it's so in the foreground, we train ourselves to have in the foreground a mantra, and then everything else becomes part of that expanded awareness. So it's going on, but it's at a distance. Because what's most real to you is what your attention is on. So you're practicing breathing, turning your attention to the hara, breathing into the hara. I breathe in peace. I breathe out compassion, or I breathe in loving kindness. I breathe out peace. You know, whatever that is, and that becomes your practice focus, and you begin to realize that it's like you're traveling in a little bubble of attention inside that expanded awareness. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, though. You know, I just laid that out there like, okay, do that tomorrow.
And you're home free.
It's a practice, and the recording and listening can really help, because as you listen to that little technique of you do that, then you miss you wait a couple of beats, so you say it, and then you leave a blank space and you repeat it to yourself. You can say it out loud or just inside your head, and then you hear it again. You know, and you're really training yourself to come back to that. And as you do that, you'll find even in maximum chaos, attention will come back to that. And you'll find yourself attending to the breath, and that mantra will drop in, and you'll realize, ooh, this is working, which is very inspiring to pick up the pace. And before long, you can do that anywhere, regardless of what's going on. Just take some.
Thank you.
All right. Your assignment.
All right.
Thank you, Joyce.
Okay.
See you soon.
Thank you. Okay. Yes.
Good
All
night.
Right. Good
Bye-bye.
Night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. And thank you, Sherry, for another fabulous open air with Sherry Huber.
My pleasure, Michael. Thank you for making it possible for us once again. So appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.